Okay, review of communications, tape number 3, side 2. Continuing interview with Thomas J. O'Hare. And this is, we just had page 31 in the Thompson's report on communication study that we were doing. And we'll continue this tape by reviewing O'Hare's tape. And it's almost finished. We'll have to switch it to the other side in a moment, too, but we'll continue on. Page 32. Page 33. Page 34. Page 34 is, this is the synopsis of
everything. This is where I'm stopping.
Okay.
Now I'm stopping.
This brings together all of what he said in here in the past.
I can read it aloud if you want to.
Item 1, we were on station, correct. Equipment was correctly calibrated, correct. Weather reports and best available forecast, correct.
Now, why would she ask us to take a bearing on her and whistle in the microphone if she wasn't aware that we had something to take a bearing on her? I will whistle in the microphone so you can take a bearing on me, said Miss Earhart. Records show that Earhart was not advised by this vessel of the high-frequency direction finder's existence. So what the hell is she whistling in the microphone so we can take a bearing on her if she's not aware that we have a direction finder?
Okay, that's the end of side 1 of tape number 1. I'm switching over to side B now, side 2. Okay, this is now side 2 of tape number 1 of the 3 tapes that was done on May 20th, 1976 with Thomas J. O'Hare. On page 34, and 35. Regardless of whether the messages show that Earhart thought you had a direction finder, or she was never told, it's obvious that she
assumed that we had one. Right. Otherwise, she wouldn't be whistling in the microphone and asking us to take a bearing on it. Why would she do such a silly thing if she wasn't aware of the fact that we were capable of taking a bearing? And we have the equipment to take the bearing. The equipment.
Okay, now we're on page 35.
The Itasca's radio personnel in the beginning were inexperienced. False. We were highly experienced operators. Otherwise, how could we have handled all that traffic in the aftermath? Did we suddenly become brilliant in one day? Inexperienced. Inexperienced in what? We were inexperienced in aviation, yes. But not in radio. I don't care whether I'm communicating with an airplane, a truck, a ship. It's the same thing. We're inexperienced. The operators were interested and proved capable in the heavy load which they carried.
Well, if we carry that heavy load, we must have been experienced. Where did we gain this experience? In one day?
How many years had you been a radio operator by then?
5 years.
And you say Thompson was a amateur radio operator as
well? Yes, he was a very capable operator. Operator.
Not what you would call inexperienced.
Oh, no, none of us were inexperienced. We were all experienced, good operators.
Now, Cipriani, when did you make...
We know nothing of Cipriani or his background.
I'm sorry, I meant Galton made second class in October. Do you remember when you made second class?
Shortly after, I went then to Point Vicente at Palos Verdes, KNOG. I made second class right away.
Dakota going. So you were all of you were almost ready for second class. And
within a year or two, I was first class. Oh, that's 41. Right after that, I made chief. I made chief in 41 or 42, whatever. And that's what the double watch took to contact the plane. Now, here we go now, the flight. Information that Earhart was in the air was received from the San Francisco division at 18:30, Holland time. A radio man second class was sent ashore to Holland Island to man the high-frequency direction finder. Now, where did NMC get the information she was in the air? They got that through commercial stations. We've
got it.
During the evening, tests were made to check the Itasca signal string, key, and voice. We're not interested in the key.
Okay, but what's the answer to that question?
The transcript of the radio logs is necessarily not complete due to the rapidity of events and also due to the Earhart exclusive use of voice, only partially received. I never did get an answer to it. You check the Itasca signal strength. Where is it?
That's it. They say it was checked, but they never give
one
the answer.
But I stop right
that's
there.
But the log does. This is what...
Well, the log will have to have it.
It
at these times,
I hear you on voice, that, barely, I don't hear you at all on voice.
That parts of the other man I don't hear. Also, the appropriate range of extremity were present when we're... Sections are entered. Corrections to the radio log are given. There's no corrections. You can't correct the log. Once you hit that key, it's there. The radio log stands as it was written at the time and has not been changed or corrected. That's correct. I can't make any changes in that log.
They're designed that way.
You know, I'm typing. I mean, I'm liable to misspell or XXX something out. You know. Yeah, here we go. Radio log, 1st of July. When did she take off?
1st of July, your time. She took off 000.
Okay, I got her in the air now, huh? Now, who is PAE? I'm calling PAE. Who the hell is he?
Leyte Guinea.
PAE. Yeah. Couldn't get him. I heard PAE, so I gave him a call. I heard him. So I gave him a call. He couldn't hear me.
The logs will show that when they record it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Remember that point when we cover the logs.
So apparently I'm calling the Ontario and asking any news from Ontario.
Ontario.
Page 36. Page 37.
Check signal strength and frequency with San Francisco radio. Key and voice were checked. No reply as to voice strength was received. The Howland Island log also forms a check. Signals were sent as agreed. San Francisco radio was obviously monitoring closely as told Itasca to slow to 10 words when Itasca sending at 15.
But that's 70.
As Earhart indicated desire, all signals thereafter were sent at 10 words per minute. What the hell are they talking about?
They heard you on 7500, and you were sending too fast, so they told you to slow down.
Well, I didn't send her any CW signals until after she was in distress.
Well,
for what reason would
well,
I
you
want?
Sent... You sent the weather on 7500.
I did like hell. I was sending the weather on 3105 voice every half hour.
I wasn't sending anything. I wasn't sending any 10 words, 15 words a minute on 7,500.
We'll check the
hogs on that. That's ridiculous.
But again, if they heard you, they were hearing CW. They weren't.
Yes. That's another kettle of fish altogether. Boom. On this side, she works. On that side, she don't. A3 emission was no good. Apparently. Apparently, I'm sending the weather to her on 7,500.
Yeah, the log show that.
What the hell am I sending to the weather CW when she can't receive CW?
Page 38.
Well, apparently I wasn't on watch then. I don't remember sending her any weather on 7,500.
Page 39.
Itasca heard Earhart at 0248. Point. Itasca broadcasts were heard throughout the Pacific.
Not true.
Well, you were heard on 13360 and 7500.
I'm talking 3105, which was my only point of communication with it. The other was a homing signal, not for communication purposes. Get that.
Page 40, even 40. Okay, we're on page 41 now. What does she say to do there? This becomes very important.
Overcast. We'll listen on hour and half hour on 3105. We'll listen on hour and half hour on 3105.
She'll listen for you on
the NMC hour. And Itasca checked on Earhart signals. Broadcast weather. Repeated weather. What is your position?
But it's very important now. Earhart.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen for you on 3105 on the hour and on the half hour.
Yeah, we're on there all the time. Yeah,
but she's only going to be listening on
the
hour.
The only thing I'm interested in is 3105
on the
as
hour.
Far at any time.
But she's only going to be listening on the hour and a half hour.
Well, what's she going to do, turn the damn thing off?
Yes.
Nah, she's listening. You don't turn your receiver off.
You don't
do you turn off your TV every time you go to the bathroom? Her receiver's out. What's her receiver doing all this time? Of course she leaves it on. Though there's no traffic. You don't turn your receiver off just because it's not the half hour. You keep your receiver on 24 hours a day. Keep it warmed up.
How is she listening?
That's neither here nor there.
She isn't going to hear anything. The only time she says she'll be listening is on the hour and a half hour.
Well, and that's...
becomes important later. The only time you can expect her to hear you is on 3105 kilocycles on the hour and a half hour. That's what she says.
Well, that's what I'm broadcasting the weather on. Blind. On the half hours. Sent weather, code and form, 3105. Now, what the hell would I be sending code on 3105? I'd have to get up off my ass, switch it off A3 to A1. That doesn't sound good. Right.
Okay, we're on page 41 now.
She wants a bearing on 3105.
lights. You'll whistle in the mic. That's at 6 o'clock in the morning. She's 200 miles out. I've always said 200 miles. She's whistling. We can't. Told him to take bearing on 3105. Sending A's on 7500.
What were you doing at 6:30 to 6:33, getting back here?
I'm sending out A's on 7500.
What is she doing on the half hour?
She's listening to me.
On what frequency?
Well, she must have had two receivers. Well, she's on 7500. She hears me.
Not at 6:30 in the morning, she is.
Well, regardless, but I know she can hear me on 7500.
Later on, she...
No, we've already established that fact.
No, not yet.
Okay. Please take bearing on us.
We're starting to get the meeting right
ahead. Okay, please take bearing on us and report in a half an hour.
Oh, wait a minute. That's very important. Could you read that again?
Please take bearing on us and report in a half an hour. I will make noise in the microphone. I am about 100 miles out.
What time is it?
It is now 6:45 in the morning.
Okay, now what does she say again? Repeat it one more time.
Please take the bearing on us and report in a half hour.
Now stop just for a minute. Does that make any sense?
Yes. She wants a bearing.
When?
At 6:45 in the morning.
Why 6:45 in the morning?
Because she doesn't know where the hell she is. Well, she wants to know where she is. She doesn't know. So, if she wants us to take a bearing, I assume she can't take one on us. Or she wouldn't be asking me such a damn fool question as if she could take a bearing on 7500. So she wants us to take a bearing, which we cannot do.
And what does she want you to do with that bearing?
She hasn't told me what she wants.
She asked you to do something. What was it she asked you? What she asked you to do is not logical.
She hasn't asked me to do anything except to take a bearing.
And? What follows after the word and?
There is no and.
Please take bearing on me and... What does it say after and?
Where do you see the and? And report in a half an hour. Okay.
That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, it's not logical.
Report in a half an hour?
Why? She's coming.
Why not give it to me immediately?
Or very shortly. Or on your next scheduled time on half
the
hour.
The hell with the schedule. The girl's in distress. Throw the schedule out the window.
She's not in distress yet. She doesn't know anything's wrong yet.
Well, let's get her to where she's
Okay. But this
homing
is signal.
Homing signal. Homing signal. I'm AAA'ing for the next 15 minutes.
Mostly on 7500.
And on 3105, apparently here at 7:15. Cannot take bearing on 3105. Very good. What do you mean, very good? No good. Please send on 500. Or do you wish to take bearing on us?
What time is that?
7:18. No answer to that one.
Okay, I'm going to stop that right there for a second. That was a very difficult exchange between O'Hare and I. And as you can see, the set of mind and the fixation, he couldn't see that what she wanted was not to report in a half hour, which is exactly what they did. They came back and said they could in a half hour, and which was 6:45 to 7:18, and said that they were unable to take a bearing on her very good, which he changed to no good. But he couldn't see that she's listening on the hour and half hour, and he couldn't see that what she said was not in a half hour, but on a half hour, which was at their time on the hour, because they're on 11 plus 30 time, and she's on Greenwich time. So when she says on a half hour, she, as far as they're concerned, she means on the hour, and when she says on the hour, she means on their half hour. They were a half hour off different in time, but they couldn't pick that up. And, of course, contrary to what O'Hare believed about her having the radio on all the time, she had only listening on the hour and a half hour. She was flying the airplane, taking care of the fuel, working with Noonan. She had looking for the island. She was doing all sorts of things and could only devote a few minutes out of every hour to the radio. But I thought it was, though it was a very difficult exchange, I thought it was very worthwhile to show the set of the radio operator's mind and the radio operator's type of thinking. Even though he's had many years to think it over, it still never got through. Okay, we'll just pick that right up. I'll turn the recorder on and continue right from there.
On page 42. The lights now goes up to the 500 transmitter. What are we getting all excited about? Here we go. 742. Earhart calling Itasca. We must be on you, but cannot see you. But gas is running low. Been unable reach you by radio. We are flying at altitude 1,000 feet. See how that funny thing stuck in my mind? I said, did I use the numerals with the slant? Now, why would I dredge that thing up?
Okay, other log, go ahead.
This is me.
What does it say about that?
Running out of gas, only 1/2 hour. Previously, she said, I am running low. Now, she says, 1/2 hour. Definitely. Can't hear us at all. We hear her and are sending on 3105 and 500 at the same time constantly. We are banging away at her now. The hell with schedules. And listening in for her frequently. What do you mean frequently? All the time.
Well, you're stopping transmitting and listening.
What the hell is the difference? I can transmit and listen to two.
In between the keys, but not on voice. If you're using voice, it's, you know, then you got to...
Well, I've got the cans on my ears.
No, but if you're transmitting constantly on 3105, you can't hear on 3105 on voice. On CW, you can do...
as soon as I'm through with my transmission, of course.
Stopping and listening frequently. I think that's what they meant.
Now she's blown my head off. I've got her at signal strength 5.
She's really loud.
That means she's overhead someplace.
You've got a definite build between 200 out, 100 out, and now. It's getting stronger and stronger.
Sure, she's coming in on us.
How close do you think she is?
I actually physically put my head out the radio room door and looked in the sky for her. I actually did so. That's how close she was to me. I was up there looking because we had an exceptionally long head cord that you could walk out of the radio shack and still have the headphones on. And I actually was out there looking in the sky. I remember that.
You figure she was that close?
I figure she was that close with my knowledge as a radio man, figuring she can't have much of an output. She's got to be that close, S5. She's getting stronger all the time. We are circling. Now,
She thinks she's where she should be. Now she's up there going round in circles. Where's she going? She's got no place to go. East, north, south, where? But can I hear you? Go ahead on 7500. Either now or on the scheduled time on half hour. What the hell good is a half hour if she only had a half hour gas 20 minutes ago? Now she's down to 10 minutes. Is she going to wait on schedules?
Okay, what time is it?
It is now 2 minutes to 8 in the morning.
And she wants you to wait for the half hour?
Now or on the scheduled time.
It's 2 minutes before the hour.
2 minutes before 8 o'clock.
And the scheduled time on the half hour?
She wouldn't have enough gas. She told me previously she only had a half an hour.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make much sense, does it? Agreed. In view of the signal strength, it is believed Earhart was closest to Holland at this time. It was about the time the Itasca expected her to arrive. Now,
page 43.
And flying away. I assume she was flying away from us. We received your signals, but unable to get a minimum. Now that could only mean 7,500. Take bearing on us and answer 3105 with voice. Now, we sent long dashes on 3105, figuring she might be able to take a bearing on us on 3105. We received your signals. What signals? My voice? She told me previously she couldn't hear it, so I have to assume she means 7500.
The logs will show that you were only transmitting on 7500 at that time. So she must have...
No, sent long dashes on 3105.
She asked you to transmit on 7500 either now or on the scheduled time on half hour. Mm-hmm. Then the log shows you sent on 7500, and she came right back and said, I received your signal, but unable to get a minimum. Take a bearing on me and answer on 3105.
Cipriani can't get a cut.
Why can't he get a cut?
He can't get a minimum and could not pick up signals. The hell's he talking about, he could not pick up signals? Jesus, if she's coming in S5 a few hundred yards away, he's got a receiver. She's got to come in on him. He's not on frequency. He don't know how to run the damn machine, apparently. The operator on Holland had heard most of the conversation on 3105 after 6 o'clock and tried to cut Earhart in, but wasn't able to do so due to Earhart's continued use of voice and brevity of Earhart transmission. Now, if that isn't an ambiguous statement, I never heard one. He tried to cut in Earhart, but was unable to do so due to Earhart's continued use. Jesus, the longer she's on, the better my chances of getting the cut.
Actually, all he's got to do is flip a BFO on. He's got something to take a bearing on besides the voice.
No, he's got to swing the loop.
No, but I mean, switch the BFO on.
Yeah.
He turns the voice into a steady tone.
Regardless, it doesn't make any difference.
So the hell with the
BFO. Now, the longer she's on, the better is my chance to take the cut.
Well, how long does it take to get a rough bearing?
I would say 10 seconds.
At the most. A rough bearing. If you want to find it out.
Just give me a direction. I don't want it to the degree.
In two to three seconds, you
tell me
have
something. I'm going to get some sort of a change.
How long was she on the air? Sometimes she was on the air for as long as 30 seconds to a minute.
Oh, yes, I'll grant you that. I don't understand this. Due to Earhart's continued use of voice...
That has no bearing on it.
That has a pun
not intended to bearing. That has no...
and brevity of Earhart transmissions.
They were, your judgment, they were long enough to take a bearing on.
Jesus, how long does it take you to spin that wheel? 10 seconds at the most. As you say, we don't have to pinpoint to a degree. Jesus, just give me a cardinal point, I'd be happy.
The directed thunder on the island was driven by Itasca gun batteries, and during the night their power ran down. Now, isn't that absolutely ridiculous?
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know about it.
You just had your car battery charged. Is it going to be discharged in 4 hours? 6 hours? 10 hours? What in the hell could the radio receive?
Is that about what the size of those gun batteries were? About the size of
the car? Jesus Christ! No! Heavens no, they were bigger than that.
They were 2 or 3 times bigger than
yes.
that. Yes. I noticed you held your hands about 3 feet apart.
Well, I'm trying to indicate that they were bigger than the what you would use use as a car battery.
They were a big...
The capacity was bigger. Consequently, they couldn't possibly have run down. They're not going to run down in a 24-hour period. Was it just a goddamn radio receiver on them? And during their night, their power ran down. That's as good an excuse as any. During the period 6 to the last Earhart transmission, experienced officers were on howling. Remember that particular episode. Earhart's, well, it must have been, probably never exceeded 7 or 8 seconds. Toward the end, Earhart talked so rapidly as to be almost incoherent. False.
Well, excuse me, backing up to here, when she's asking for these bearings and whatnot, she's on the air for 2 or 3 minutes, according to the logs.
So this doesn't make much sense, does it? She was on for more than that. It takes her longer to say. She was whistling in the microphone, remember?
In your judgment, plenty of time to take a bearing.
Yes. Still on the air.
Okay, it's page 44.
Now, we know there's something wrong on Howland, don't we?
Yeah, we don't know what yet, though.
We know he can't get a bearing. Christ, he ought to be able to have gotten something, a direction at least. A cardinal point, even. Wouldn't you assume? Now at 8:45, we are on the line of position 157, 337. Now that's merely a line of position. What good is a line of position? That's like saying meet me on Fifth Avenue. Where? We'll repeat this message. We will repeat this message on 6210. Now, the radio room at this time is full of people. We immediately switched to 6210.
We the receiver?
Yeah. But we left one on 3105. We didn't desert 3105 altogether.
But up until this time, you had never monitored 6210?
We had never gone to 6210 on the receivers or transmitters.
The log shows this.
Now,
the log shows
this. Now, instantaneously, we switched to 6210. Which had been previously calibrated so we wouldn't have to search for
it. On the receiver.
On the receiver, you know, with the little pencil marks. Not completely deserting 3105. Nothing, that was her last words at that minute is when she went down. That was her last words were, I will repeat this on 6210. She never got to 6210. No. I have often remarked how cool and calm and coherent, not incoherent. She was cool and calm at all times. Never excited.
Can you tell, though, that she was very, very anxious towards the end?
She was anxious, but not excited. I mean, not hysterical or anything of that nature. She was cool, calm, and collected. I often remarked on that.
How did those rumors get started? That she was hysterical at the end?
That is absolutely ridiculous. How could I copy her if she was screaming or hollering? I had no trouble in slamming it down what she was saying. So anyone that thinks that she was lost her cool is crazy, because she did not.
You were on page 45.
Okay, there's nothing more. That's the end. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay, now we're into that. We're on page 46.
Itasca signals clearly received throughout by other units. Dubious.
Well, the log
3105. Who heard us on 3105?
Voice?
Voice.
I can't find
a voice only.
Not even the media. That was fair. The logs will show that, though, won't they?
Correct. Communication was never really established. It was. She heard us. That establishes communication.
What did she hear you on?
7500.
Not on 3105.
Not on 3105. Ah. Earhart acknowledged receiving Itasca signals at 8 o'clock. This formed the only case and was apparently for a signal sent by the Itasca on 7500. Agreed.
Okay, you're page 47 now.
Earhart's last message was hurried, frantic, and apparently not complete. False. Was perfectly coherent, cool, calm, and collected, and was complete.
Except that she did not answer on 6210.
She says, I will repeat this on 6210. Consequently, the message was complete. I am now going to shift to 6210. She never got there. That's when she actually splashed. Earhart was on air very briefly and apparently overmodulated. False.
I wonder why they would say that.
Well, I don't give a damn. She was overmodulated. As you say, putting the slam on, I don't know what there was of the FOR. Earhart probably had receiver trouble. Probably. Probable. That's possible. She didn't hear us. I'm 3105. So how could she have a receiver trouble if she could hear us on the other one? And as you say, she was using the same receiver? No. You think so? The homing device?
No, I think she had two receivers. Earhart knew that Itasca could give her accurate bearings on 500, and yet never transmitted on 500. She couldn't transmit on 500.
She didn't have a 500 kilocycle transmitter aboard the aircraft.
According to Dwiggins later.
According to Dwiggins. That's where I got my information. The signals which Earhart acknowledged were transmitted on 7500.
Agreed.
Her direction finder loop could not handle this frequency. That does not make sense. She says, I cannot get a minimum on you. If it couldn't handle that frequency, what the hell was she trying to get a cut on us for? Query.
Some sort of a problem here, isn't there?
Well, she told me she couldn't get a cut on me due to a no minimum, a no null. Consequently, it follows that her direction finder loop could not handle this frequency. Of course it could, otherwise what the hell is she monkeying around trying to get a cut on me for?
At least she thought it could.
Or at least she thought it could.
Party 8. Page 49.
Well, I see no further sense in reading any further.
Well,
she's in the water now.
Yeah, she's in the water
the
now.
The show's over. Now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sign this tape off and put in tape number 2 so we have a fresh tape to start with. And it's now 1:30 in the afternoon. And we're still with Thomas O'Hare. And this was be the end of side 2, the end.
Okay, and so now I'll put in tape number 2, side 1.
Jay O'Hare, Chief Radio Man, United States Coast Guard, United States Coast Guard retired. We're at his home at 110 Southeast New River Drive, Lauderdale, Florida. And it's now 2:45, and after lunch we're continuing our discussion of his duty aboard the Itasca in July 1937. Hey, we're skipping now to the summary of the search on page 104. It starts right over here, Tom. And this will be the end of looking at the... we skipped the search operations because it wasn't pertinent to our discussion. And we're now at the summary. We're going to cover that. Now we're on page 105. And now 106.
The logs.
Okay. Now, this starts on the 1st of July, 1937. And the watch was started.
He's off.
At 1900. Now, that's the Itasca time.
Now he's relieved by Thompson.
And he puts up 3105. So everything on here, he's monitoring 3105.
Apparently this is all 3105, otherwise it would be here.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Okay, he was on from 1900 to 1950, and then he was relieved by Thompson.
What is this? Who did this?
Second of July.
Yeah.
Two July.
Right on.
Okay.
Nothing. There should be a back sheet on this.
Well, we can't photostat it. This is a copy, see, so we have to.
Oh, just one side.
Here's the other side.
Well, we went through the logs of position number two, that is the 3105 aircraft circuit, and really, going through the logs, O'Hare had really nothing to say in addition to what we'd already picked up in transcript of the radio logs. So this is the end of radio review, the communications review, tape number three, side two. The next tape will be tape number four, side one. Review of communications, Amelia Earhart accident, July 2nd, 1937. And this is Elgin Long doing the review of communications, and we'll continue with the T.J. O'Hare's tape number two, side one, when we start review of communications tape, the next tape, number four.